defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a program note right here tomorrow on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, who, by the way, joined us for our recent cruise to the Western Caribbean and was absolutely loved by our constituency who joined us on the cruise. He's going to be on the broadcast with me tomorrow, as well as Brian Gadawa, who wrote the cover story for the current edition of the Christian Research Journal on Avatar, a postmodern pagan myth. Because of its explicit religious worldview and political overtones, Avatar has drawn a flaming frenzy from news sites and blogs across the internet. Jonah Goldberg wrote of it as plagiarized political propaganda. Liberal film critic Roger Ebert likened his viewing of Avatar to his viewing of Star Wars in 1997, and he called it not simply a sensational entertainment, but a technical breakthrough predestined to launch a cult. Well, those who attack the faults of Avatar are missing a much more important point. Avatar's success cannot be dismissed. It's resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. James Cameron knows storytelling better than his detractors, and Ebert is right. It is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. I went to see the movie with my kids, and I'll tell you, we spent a lot of time afterwards sorting out myth from reality, talking about a biblical worldview and the worldview being communicated in Avatar, discerning between heat and light, wheat and chaff. And your kids are being impacted by movies like this, whether you like it or not. And if you don't know the truth, if you're not familiar with the real McCoy, you are likely going to be dismissed by a substitute, or worse, prostituted by a substitute. The article on Avatar, a postmodern pagan myth, by Brian Gadawa in the Christian Research Journal is must reading. If you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you can remedy that woeful situation by going right to the World Wide Web at equip.org. And you can register online for a subscription. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. By the way, Monday through Friday at this time, your call on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Derek. He's listening in Memphis, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, Hank, hopefully I'll be a lot better after I talk to you. I have been a Christian for a multitude of years, and I recently got diagnosed with pneumonia, and it sent all kinds of fears and doubt on my salvation. And, Hank, I'm really struggling right now to know whether I'm saved or not. And I've researched, I've just been all over the internet with, I feel, reliable Christian information. I've even gone to my church pastor, which is a Southern Baptist New Testament church. And Hank, I'm just not having the peace that the Bible speaks of, and I'm really, really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could help me find this peace that Jesus talks about.
Yeah, well, I think it all starts with three R's, and I'm giving it to you that way so that you can remember it, because obviously this is something that I want not just to talk to you for a few moments on the air, but you to contemplate as well. if you realize that you're a sinner, and let me ask you this question, do you?
Yeah.
If you repent of your sins, are you willing to do that, or have you done that?
Yes, I have confessed my sins on a number of times, and I've prayed the sinner's prayer a number of times.
And, right. Well, I want to get into that in a second, but
okay. I'm sorry, but just I don't mean to rush you. Go ahead.
No, not at all. I just want to make sure that we're on track here. You realize that you're a sinner. You repent of your sin, which is simply this: a willingness to turn on the road of life.
Yes.
Where you're no longer living by the dictates of your own will. You're turning and following Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life. And what I mean by that is a willingness to have Jesus be the Lord of your life as opposed to being the Lord of your own life. So the question is simply not in terms of what's happened in the past, but in the present, can you say that you are willing to turn from sin and follow Jesus Christ?
Yes.
The third R is receive. To demonstrate the reality of what you are saying, or to demonstrate that you truly believe, means that you're willing to receive, which is to say you're willing to reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king, saying, I can't earn it or deserve it. I can't merit it. I'm simply trusting in what Jesus Christ has done for me as opposed to what I can do to earn or deserve eternal life.
Yes, I am willing to do that.
So you realize the gospel is not what you do, but what Jesus Christ has done for you.
Yes.
So here's the deal. If you realize that you're a sinner, if you repent of your sin and you receive Jesus Christ, then by virtue of his promise, you have everlasting life. It's not that you might have or could have, but you do have everlasting life, not based on how you feel, which was part of the prologue to the question, but rather on the promise of Jesus Christ, who is faithful and will not deceive you. Feelings are notoriously unreliable. Feelings ebb and flow. But the commitment that Jesus Christ has made to you is inviolate. He says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life. Not might have or could have, but has everlasting life, will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life eternal. So if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And the one who justifies you will also sanctify you, which is to say the one who gives you eternal life will also daily conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't happen by osmosis. With birth must come growth, and that growth comes by reading the Bible, building a relationship with the Lord in prayer, being a vital member of a healthy reproducing church, and then learning to communicate what you believe, why you believe it, and living with eternity in mind. So there are basic steps for discipleship and growth. And I typically quote Tom Landry here, who says that a good football coach makes men do what they wouldn't ordinarily do in order that they might be what they've always wanted to be. And the same thing is true with respect to Jesus Christ. If you want to become Christ-like, you have to exercise the very same disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. So with birth must come growth.
Hank, I do have... Are you familiar with Campus Crusade for Christ?
Yeah.
Is that a very reliable...
It's a good organization.
As far as their teaching. The reason what rushed me and that really pulled me to call is that I was reading the tract, How to Know God, and it's, you know, I guess it's one of those pamphlets that they hand out to people, and when it came to it gave some testimonies of some people that basically said that you can pray the sinner's prayer as many times, but if you that that doesn't mean that you're going to be saved, per se. That he referred to it, it's a works based. He referred to, I think it was Ephesians 2, the gift of God is
yeah, for you've been saved by God's
That no man should boast.
Yes.
He made reference to that scripture, and that's what really sent all the warning signs off. That, well, maybe that I'm not saved. Maybe I'm trying to do this on my own, and I want to receive this gift, Hank, but I don't know how. I mean, I pray the prayer, and I pray with a willing, sincere heart. I've even been to tears. And I just have a lot of anxiety and just a lot of burden, and I just don't know where else to turn, and no one can seem to answer my question, and that's why I've called you. I really just want this peace.
Well, I don't see where Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is a problem for you, because Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast."
Yeah.
And this is precisely what we've just talked about. If you realize you're a sinner, if you repent of your sin, then you can receive everlasting life, not on the basis of what you can do, but rather on the basis of what Christ has done for you. In other words, you've placed your trust in Him. You not only know about Him and agree that He's Savior and Lord, but you are depending on Him alone for everlasting life. And if you can say that you are depending on Him alone for everlasting life, then you have everlasting life. And that faith then that you have manifested produces in your life good works. We are saved by faith alone. However, the faith that saves is not alone. Inevitably, it produces works. We don't work for our salvation, but we do work from our salvation. So works are not a condition of justification, but they are a consequence of salvation, so that we are not saved by our works, but by the kind of faith that produces good works. So you are simply saying, as you said to me earlier, you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for everlasting life. If that is true, you have everlasting life.
Well, then, I just don't know why I doubt why my faith is wavering in that fact.
Well, are you involved in the steps of discipleship and growth as a new believer? Do you read the Bible?
Well, yes. I've for the past month I've read it a lot, a whole lot.
What are you reading?
I started off reading in Matthew, and I've read John, and I'm basically, I had some resources that someone had given to me, and
are you part of a church?
Yes, I am. I'm part of a New Testament church. It's Faith Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee.
Okay, and are you praying on a regular basis?
Yes, sir. I am.
Well, those are the steps, Derek, of discipleship and growth as a believer. If you are reading the Bible and you are developing intimacy with the Lord through prayer, and you're part of a healthy, well-balanced church where you're using your time and your talent and your treasure for the glory of God and for the extension of His kingdom, then you can trust the promises of Jesus Christ. The feelings are not the issue. It's not what you feel. It's what Jesus Christ says. So the question is simply this. Are you trusting in what Jesus Christ is saying to you? Whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has everlasting life.
You're right. I would say yes, but I don't really know how to answer that, Hank. I say yes with my lips, but I believe that He is God's Son, and I do believe that He came to die for my sins, and I have asked Him to save me, and that I do believe that He is the only way to heaven, and I just don't feel I guess I'm not trusting in his word. I'm not trusting in what he says.
Right, and that's what you have to do. You have to trust in what he says, because the work of God is this, according to the Apostle John, who you are reading, to believe in the one he has sent. And John 20 says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing on him, you will have life in his name. And there are many other passages like that. I wish I wasn't at the mercy of the clock, but I'm going to have to leave it at that because I'm coming up to a station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, and extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
As we see the morality and strength of the greatest civilization in history crumble before us, Hank Hanegraaff has identified the four horsemen that are ushering in the fall. The first is fundamentalism.
In the interest of saving the Bible from liberalism, we are now in danger of marginalizing the very revelation that gave rise to the modern world.
Learn how to identify this horseman as it approaches and how you can be ready to defend the reliability and relevance of the Bible in today's world with Hank's message titled The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. Available now on DVD or CD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. And by the way, I want to mention that when someone like Derek, who called in the first segment, asked questions about eternal security, we're with him for the long haul. So we are willing to work with Derek and others who are struggling with the security of their own salvation off air, not just on air. And ultimately, point people back to the scripture. 1 John 5:13 says, and again, these are the words of the Apostle John, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. We are saved by grace through faith on account of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Christ saves us. But our faith is the instrument through which we are united with Christ. Faith is essential, but it's not our faith that saves us. It is the object of our faith that saves us, and He can never fail. And thus Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 teaches that our salvation in every aspect is a gift, including our faith. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jim. He's listening on WTLN in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Oh, yeah. Me too. It's great to talk to you. And I've been praying for Derek on the phone while I've been listening. And I pray that he finds true faith because I went through that too for a long time. Mm.
By the way, that's one of the beauties of what happens in these kinds of circumstances. You find that as I'm talking to someone like a Derek, there are all kinds of people listening in who are praying at the same time for Derek, and prayer ultimately is firing the winning shot.
Exactly, exactly. And it's so easy to get caught up in your feelings and instead of faith in the Word of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So,
yes.
My question today is about seed. I have two questions, actually. Seed faith in Mike Murdoch and Todd Kuntz, if you know about these two people.
Well, I am real familiar with Mike Murdoch, and I'm real familiar with seed of faith theology, or seed faith theology, as it is sometimes called. One of the popularizers was a man named Oral Roberts.
Right.
And rather than offering salvation in exchange for money like Johann Tetzel when he sold indulgences in the Middle Ages, Oral Roberts appealed to such basic instincts as fear and greed. And, of course, he's not alone. Mike Murdoch does exactly the same thing, and therefore Oral's tactics are now standard fare among faith teachers like Mike Murdoch.
Are they Christian?
Well, I can't judge their heart, but their theology is decidedly unchristian. In fact, if you look at where this seed faith theology comes from, you find out that it comes from other prosperity or metaphysical cults like the Unity School of Christianity.
Right.
In fact, the reasoning that Oral Roberts employed while he was alive directly reflects the thinking process of Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore. In fact, this is something acknowledged by Roberts. One of his prosperity devotionals came directly from this cult.
Right.
So it's cultic thinking, and simply stated, planting a seed is synonymous with mail me money. So it's a gimmick, and it's little more than a give-to-get gospel of greed that I wrote about in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
I definitely see that. I mean, the seed to me was always the word of God, you know. That's what I was taught when I became a Christian at first. Not money.
Yeah, and if you look at the manipulation inherent in this seed faith or seed for miracles scam, you immediately are alerted to the fact that this is not biblical Christianity. This is a prostitute. Here's an example.
Delayed obedience becomes disobedience. I've asked the Holy Spirit today, Father, give me 3,000 miracles for people who will set aside $58 each month for 12 months. If what I've said about sowing and reaping is the word of God, I decree 12 months of miracles. Uncommon health, uncommon wisdom, uncommon financial favor, and family reconciliation. In Jesus' name, it is done.
That, of course, is Mike Murdoch. He's saying, plant a financial seed for miracles. So if you give $58 each month for 12 months, then you're going to get something from God.
Right.
As though God is capricious.
Yeah, like it within 30 days or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's a scam. And it's just like
okay.
Johann Tetzel.
I'm sorry.
No, it's just like Johann Tetzel in the Middle Ages. It's a scam.
Okay, thank you, Hank. I have one more quick question. What is Israel's role in the end times before Christ comes back?
Oh, that's a quick question, is it?
I know, but I mean, do you see anything for them, or?
Well, let me say that in context, you probably want to read my book, The Apocalypse Code, but I do not see that anything is necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to finally deal with the problem of sin, the problem with sickness and with death and with Satan. And he's going to establish a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness. And God is not involved in real estate, and he's not involved in racism. We are a priesthood of all believers. The very language that was used for ancient Israel in the Old Testament is used for us as believers. The mystery of the gospel is that the two have become one, and there's no distinction between people on the basis of race. So
right.
God is not looking at one person and saying, oh, you are my chosen one because you have a particular genealogy or you have a particular DNA. No, he chooses people on the basis of their relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And by the way, that was true not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you have all kinds of people who are part of true Israel, not by genealogy, but rather because of their relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel, like Ruth, a Moabite, the arch enemy of Israel, and yet in a favored position in the lineage of Jesus Christ because she trusted in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and was counted to her as righteousness. So if you look at the overall situation, Abraham had his name changed from Abram to Abraham, indicative of the fact that he's a father of many nations through which all of the earth will be blessed. And
right.
Those nations are not a matter of a genealogy, but they're a matter of his royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. And you see Paul explicate this in Galatians chapter 3. Jesus is the royal seed of Abraham. And Abraham did not have seeds plural, but a seed singular. That seed is Jesus Christ. And the double entendre there is unmasked, as it were, by Paul at the end of Galatians chapter 3 when he says, if you are in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham, whether you're Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free.
Right.
So we are obsessing over a small piece of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean, and Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth. Israel pointed to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the antitype that fulfills the type, and to go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate substance for those types and shadows has come, is tantamount to trampling on the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Right, right. Okay, that answers my question very well. I know it wasn't a short question, but I love you, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Pray for Derek, too.
Okay, thank you so much for doing that. Yeah, I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Ben, listening on the web in California. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was based off your first called Derek.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask a quick question off of that, and
sure.
Then my main question. I believe in eternal security. I believe there's a difference between once saved, always saved, and eternal security. Do you?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get caught in a linguistic hall of mirrors, so it would take some definition for me to answer that question, because
all right,
it's all a matter of the meaning you pour into those words.
Yeah. One question off of that, I've discussed this with a fellow Christian who does not believe in eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
And one scripture that he brought out that was awful challenging to me,
mm-hmm.
Was in the last book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned how it says, those who take away from this prophetic book, they will have their part taken out of the book of life.
Yes.
And he mentioned, okay, if you can't lose your salvation, then how does that verse make any sense?
Well, I mean, you don't want to take language, particularly apocalyptic language, and it's apocalyptic not just in the sense of an unveiling, but a linguistic matrix that's rooted in the Old Testament. And this passage, by the way, can be found in a lot of other places, or a similar passages can be found in a lot of other places, including Proverbs and Deuteronomy. But the idea here is that if you are copying this book, you do not want to add to this book or subtract from this book, because if you do, God will take away from you your share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Well, do you think that God literally has a book of merit and a book of mercy? He's got these books and he's got names, and he either blots them out or he inscribes a new name in that book of life? Or do you think that's metaphorical?
I would assume it's metaphorical. I mean, it's...
Well, and so I don't think you want to take this passage and try to trap it in a wooden literal labyrinth,
yeah,
of its own making. I don't think that this text is designed in any way whatsoever to talk about eternal security. What it's designed to do is talk about something else, and that is we should not add to or take away from the Word of God. This was a warning to copyists as well as a warning to us, so that we rightly handle the word of truth. We don't read into the text something that the text isn't designed to communicate. Well, obviously much more could be said on that subject. Maybe I'll get back to it right after the break, but please remember, this is a ministry that is supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we simply do not remain on the air. So please pray for us. And if you can support us financially, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. Software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2. Plus, all new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers, talking to David next in Mission Viejo, California. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I'm actually working up in Fresno right now, but I live in Mission Viejo. I just wanted to give you a quick call in regards to Derek's, your conversation with Derek, and you know, I will pray for him. But one of the things I think you neglected to mention is what we're called to do after we recognize, of course, and repent, receive, and go to a healthy, well-balanced church and pray every day is we need to be baptized. And I think that, I'm not second guessing you, Hank, but I think that's real important for Derek to go out and, if he does believe, if he's followed these things that you mentioned, he should go out and become baptized.
Well, I would assume that he has been baptized if he said he's part of a healthy, well-balanced church. But you're absolutely right. Baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it certainly is a means by which you are set apart.
Right.
And you are saying that you no longer are your own, but you've been bought with a price.
Right. Well, yeah, and the end of Acts 10 clearly spells that out, that the first thing Peter told those Gentiles to do was not join a church or pray every day, but you need to be baptized. That's the very first thing he told them to do after they received the Holy Spirit. And I believe, just on a side note, that you can murder, you can steal, you can covet your neighbor's wife, you become a believer, and you will be saved. However, if you become a believer and choose never to be baptized, I think your salvation is in question there.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because if you are saved, then you want to take the step, which is the first act of obedience, and identify visibly with the body of Christ. So, as I said, baptism is not the means by which we are saved, but it is the means by which we are set apart. Through baptism, we testify that we're no longer our own, that we've been bought by Christ's blood and have been brought into a community of faith. So in Acts 2:38, Peter was not suggesting that his hearers could not be saved apart from baptism. Rather, he was saying that their genuine repentance would be evidenced by their baptism.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Absolutely. But anyway, I just wanted to call and just throw that at you.
Well, I'm glad you did. Well articulated and an important point. I think it's significant to note, but I would think that Derek, if he is a member of a healthy, well-balanced church,
yeah,
is
that's a good
baptized.
Point.
So I guess, as you've pointed out, we can't assume that. So it's well worth mentioning, and I'm glad you called.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we miss you in Southern California. That's for sure.
Thanks, David.
Okay, have a good day.
God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Rob, listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My question is, I want to know, what do you think about Joseph Prince? He has a ministry called Destined to Reign.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I am. In fact, let me play a clip of Joseph Prince, who says, "You have an edge. Your mouth is your edge, and you can call in sales in Jesus' name with your mouth."
You have double anointing, double speaking power. A Christian businessman, you have an edge over the sinners out there. Amen. You know what? They can depend on all their doings. And God says, doings come to nothing. And God says to you, you have an H. Your H is your mouth. You are righteous by faith. So speak. God's favor is all over my business. God's favor is all over my work. God's favor is all over me. Whatever I do prospers. Amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Whatever I do prospers. I prosper in my work. Hallelujah. I call in the sales in Jesus' name. Amen. I call in the sales in Jesus' name. Amen. We have more than enough in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, there was a time, I call in the finances, and I would call, and I thought calling $1,000 in was big back then. You know, we've come some ways. We're calling it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we do. I speak prosperity into your life.
I think that's probably enough to listen to get a little sense of what he's communicating, which is the health and the wealth gospel.
Oh.
And unfortunately, it is a perversion of biblical truth. In this world, we get sick. Prosperity is not a demonstration that you have great faith. Great men of God have suffered physically and financially. So prosperity is no guarantee of God's blessing on your life.
Yes.
Not only that, but we are not looking forward to what we can have here, but a new heaven and a new earth, when the old order things will pass away and all things will become new. But he's talking all the time about miraculous healings of cancer and tumors and kidney conditions, AIDS, and much, much more. But Where is the evidence? When these people talk about these kinds of healings, do I doubt that God can heal? No, but certainly healing is not normative. And the problem is when we tell people by his stripes we are healed, and we're simply misleading them because, first of all, the healing in Scripture is clearly healing that has to do with our transgressions and our sins. So it's spiritual healing in mind. Now, healing is provided for in the atonement, but the outworking of that is seen in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So all of these prophecies with respect to healing and prosperity are overblown. They overpromise and underperform. I wrote a book about this. It's called Christianity in Crisis 21st Century.
Well, I watched them a few times, but I wasn't real sure about them, though. That's why I wanted to call you and see what you thought about them.
Well, you got it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan, listening on XM 170 in Farmingdale, New York. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, Hank? How are you today?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you.
Good. Yeah, my question has to do with sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, it almost seems to me like there's two views of sanctification, and like one being that that we're just sanctified by God, and the other one is that we actually, in other words, we're declared sanctified by God. You know, legally speaking, is that what they call like forensic or something like that?
Well, I think you're confusing justification and sanctification. Justification is a single act of God by which we are declared just.
We are declared
righteous, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, a foreign righteousness, not of our own, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But the one
it's
who...
sort of an objective righteousness, so to speak.
Well, we have objectively the righteousness of Jesus Christ laid to our account as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then the Jesus Christ who justifies us also sanctifies us, which is to say daily conforms us to his image.
Okay, so in other words, that, you know, once I've received Christ and I start growing, and if I'm being conformed to the image of Christ, this is... I am actually changing on the inside, in other words, and actually becoming more holy.
Yes, you are becoming more Christ-like. You are being daily conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which is to say, with birth must come growth. And we're involved in that growth process. We can't simply mouth Christian mantras. We have to take on the very disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn.
Okay, you know, I guess because, you know, it just seemed to me there were two views, like one views. I'm not exactly sure. I thought that it might have been a Calvinistic view. I may be mistaken. That kind of, you know, that we, the real me, you know, can't get holy, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Well, in Calvinism, you have to first recognize that there is a sequence. The first part of the sequence is regeneration.
Right.
Regeneration precedes faith. So if you are one of the elect, God regenerates you, and once you are regenerated, you can respond to the gospel in faith. If you are not one of the elect, then you cannot respond in faith because you're not regenerated, and those who are not regenerated cannot respond to the gospel. That's the basic idea that's called circumstantial or compatibilistic freedom. Again, that's the Calvinist view.
Right, and in other words, that would have to do with the free will and not free will and things like that. Like,
well, the difference between compatibilistic freedom or circumstantial freedom and libertarian freedom, yes.
Right. And, the other view, you know, I almost think like I kind of was holding two views. I'm not sure. Like one being that, yes, I'm cooperating with God, and therefore I'm becoming sanctified, okay? Or the, you know, sanctification being the process by which we're made holy, so to speak. The other view being that the real me can never be sanctified except by declaration of God. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there aren't two views like that. You know, I
well,
just kind of thought there were.
Yeah, well, here's how I explained it to Derek at the beginning of the broadcast. We are saved by grace through faith on account of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Christ saves
right.
us, but our faith is the instrument through which we are united with Jesus Christ. So faith is essential, but it is not our faith that saves us. It is the object of our faith that saves us. And Jesus
right.
Christ is the object of our faith. And that's what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 teaches, that our salvation in every aspect is a gift, including our faith. So even faith cannot be construed as a work. So the essential thing that you need to recognize is if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, no longer depend on what you can do, but rather on what Jesus Christ has done for you, then you have everlasting life. But with birth must come growth. And the means of growth, or the means of sanctification, have to do with the Bible and prayer and being baptized as part of a healthy community of faith, because we're not born again as Lone Ranger Christians, we're born into a community of faith. So there are those means of sanctification where we're daily being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ until the day that we're glorified, and then we'll be in practice what we are now only in position. In position we are declared righteous, but we are yet sinners. In the new heavens and the new earth, we will no longer be sinners. We will forever be able not to sin. And we will forever follow Jesus Christ. We will learn and grow and develop without error. And in practice, we will be without sin. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcast. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God?
Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Cantigraph has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.